3.1. Let me examine the substance of the points made by the Mahatma. The first point made by the Mahatma is that the texts cited by me are not authentic. I confess, I am no authority on this matter, but I should like to state that the texts cited by me are all taken from the writings of the late Mr. Tilak, who was a recognized authority on the Sanskrit language and on the Hindu Shastras. His second point is that these Shastras should be interpreted not by the learned, but by the saints, and that as the saints have understood them, the Shastras do not support caste and untouchability. 3.2. As regards the first point, what I would like to ask the Mahatma is, what does it avail to anyone if the texts are interpolations and if they have been differently interpreted by the saints? The masses do not make any distinction between texts which are genuine and texts which are interpolations. The masses do not know what the texts are. They are too illiterate to know the contents of the Shastras. They have believed what they have been told, and what they have been told is that the Shastras do enjoin as a religious duty the observance of caste and untouchability. 3.3. With regard to the saints, one must admit that howsoever different and elevating their teachings may have been as compared to those of the merely learned, they have been lamentably ineffective. They have been ineffective for two reasons. Firstly, none of the saints ever attacked the caste system. On the contrary, they were staunch believers in the system of castes. Most of them lived and died as members of the castes to which they respectively belonged. So passionately attached was Jnandev to his status as a Brahman that when the Brahmins of Paithan would not admit him into their fold, he moved heaven and earth to get his status as a Brahmin recognized by the Brahmin fraternity. 3.4. And even the saint Eknath, who now figures in the film Dharmatma as a hero for having shown the courage to touch the untouchables and dine with them, did so not because he was opposed to caste and untouchability, but because he felt that the pollution caused thereby could be washed away by a bath in the sacred waters of the river Ganges. The saints have never, according to my study, carried on a campaign against caste and untouchability. They were not concerned with the struggle between men. They were concerned with the relation between man and God. They did not preach that all men were equal. They preached that all men were equal in the eyes of God, a very different and a very innocuous proposition which nobody can find difficult to preach or dangerous to believe in. 3.5. The second reason why the teachings of the saints proved ineffective was because the masses have been taught that a saint might break caste, but the common man must not. A saint, therefore, never became an example to follow. He always remained a pious man to be honored. That the masses have remained staunch believers in caste and untouchability shows that the pious lives and noble sermons of the saints have had no effect on their life and conduct, as against the teachings of the Shastras. Thus it can be a matter of no consolation that there were saints, or that there is a Mahatma, who understands the Shastras differently from the learned few or ignorant many. 3.6. That the masses hold a different view of the Shastras is a fact which should and must be reckoned with. How that is to be dealt with, except by denouncing the authority of the Shastras which continue to govern their conduct, is a question which the Mahatma has not considered. But whatever the plan the Mahatma puts forth as an effective means to free the masses from the teachings of the Shastras, he must accept that the pious life led by one good Samaritan may be very elevating to himself. But in India, with the attitude the common man has to saints and to Mahatmas, to honor but not to follow, one cannot make much out of it.